Welcome to the Everything EV podcast from EV Powered. I'm Matt Allen, editor of EV Powered, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Damien Daly, managing director of Fiat UK. Damien, thanks for joining me. Now, we spoke at the recent launch of the Fiat 600e, where you mentioned the effect that incentives have had on private EV purchases over the years and the impact that withdrawing the plug-in car grant had on the market. I was just hoping you could explain a little bit about the effect that you saw as a brand when the grant ended and what it meant for car makers more broadly.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, the grant was withdrawn in June 2022. First of all, I think it's really important to be balanced about this because what the government did was pretty good, really. I mean, basically, they transformed, I think it was 2%, the market was 2% battery electric vehicle in 2019 and got as high as 16.5% just before the grant was withdrawn. So, I mean, our government and all the other governments very much set electric as a destination point for us as manufacturers and obviously telling consumers that was the right thing to do. And it was definitely making really, really good progress. And then unfortunately, since it's withdrawn, and the market has really dwindled. There's no other way of saying it, really. So I think the balanced position on this is that it was really achieving a good momentum. Other European countries continued with it. And I think ultimately we got off the bus a little bit too early, and that's a shame. Some of our European counterparts, as I mentioned, got as high as I think it's 25% mix. I mean, even at the moment in Romania, they've got €11,000, believe it or not, on electric vehicles. So it really hurt us. I'll be absolutely honest about it, because Fiat's strength is it's a retail brand. As you know, the UK market is very complex. We have a very high fleet mix. But the strength of Fiat is very much, you know, it's a very, very much a retail brand. And that's really, really important because people are buying with their own money. And I think in life, whenever you buy anything with your own money, whether it's be a choice of a hotel room or a meal, et cetera, rather than the company or, you know, choosing it, it can alter your decision. And essentially, the removal of the grant, and the grant was aimed at cars under £32,000 because the principle of it was good. It was about bringing electrification to the masses. 70% of the market, in fairness to the government, was over £32,000. So by removing it, it just made electric vehicles really not afforded by the mass market. So this is why at Fiat, we felt very strongly about it. We'd obviously invested in 500e. Fiat 500 is an iconic car for the brand, first introduced in the 50s. It was a car for the masses in Italy. Obviously, we also have the hybrid version, which is incredibly successful. But we developed the 500e, the ultimate city car. But because it was priced under £32,000 and had a strong retail mix because of the nature of Fiat, really hurt us. So to a year to the day, we introduced our Fiat e-grant, which essentially was £3,000 towards the purchase of a Fiat 500e. If you recall, Matt, I mean, basically, initially, the government grants were as high as £5,000, then they went down to £3,000, and latterly were £1,500. So we introduced ours at £3,000. So it's something which we feel really, really strongly about, because as I mentioned, Fiat is a brand which is for the masses, it's for the families, it's for everybody, it's for retail people. And unfortunately, the reality of electrification in this country right now is it can't be afforded by the everybody. And that's something which we feel very strongly about, which is why we did what we did.
And so you mentioned that obviously you've introduced the e-grant, and you also mentioned that fleet and retail are very different markets. And obviously we've looked at the figures from the last few months, and it's obviously fleet that's holding up EV sales at the moment, and retail sales are down. And obviously we want company car buyers to be buying EVs and making use of the incentives that can help them get them into EVs. But clearly, there's a need for retail buyers to be able to access EVs affordably as well. Do you think that's something that the onus is now on manufacturers, on car makers to supply something like the e-grant that Fiat does? Or do you think there's still a place for government to have a hand in this, whether it's through a new take on the plug-in car grant or other methods?
First of all, as you mentioned, in fairness, the adoption of electrification in the company car market is really good, and we should acknowledge that. At a time where we need to sort of spread the love a little bit, almost it's too good. I mean, I give you an example. To run an £80,000 to £100,000 German sports car brand, electric version, you know, an £80,000 car, costs less than £60 a month for the 40% benefit in kind for company car tax, which is incredible. the petrol equivalent would cost you over £1,000. So that's obviously monstrous. On the Motability side of the business, Motability is unique to the UK and typically is between 15 and 20% of the total car market. Very big fleet, and actually one of the biggest fleets across Europe, but it's 15 to 20% of the market. That, again, with government support in this, they've demonstrated the adoption to EV can be made. Before Christmas in quarter four, there were 15, I think it was, electric vehicles on the list to choose from in Q4. Now it's close to 30. And when you look at the sales, and you alluded to it a moment ago for retail, I mean, almost Motability BEV market, battery electric vehicle market, in the first 2 months of this year is the same as retail, which doesn't make sense when it's only typically 17, 18% of the total market, less than 20% of the total market. The problem here is, and in a direct answer to your question, there is no reason for a consumer, other than the fact that, of course, there is a reason that they want to do it because the motivation is that they want to, you know, not put harmful gases into the environment and they want to do the right thing. But there's no reason from the government to do that. So I absolutely think that more can be done. In all honesty, we were probably expecting something yesterday, which didn't come in the Chancellor's budget. If anything, it was a little bit confusing, to be honest, because the extension of the 5p cut in fuel duty essentially pretty much rewarded the continuation of buying combustion engines. I think the quote that I saw, this is probably worth about 5 billion to the eco economy in a year. And what it benefits the person in their pocket is about £50 a year. So I won't comment on the relevance of the £50 a year, but it doesn't seem a lot of benefit to the individual. But £5 billion, some of that could have been ring-fenced to encourage EV purchases, whether that be through VAT advantages, whether it be for a similar grant, those type of things, and could have increased that adoption. I think the important thing is, and I think this is what we're in danger of happening, is that basically electrification is out of the reach of the majority, and particularly retail customers, and at Fiat, as I mentioned, you know, Fiat's strength, and has been for many, many years, is our retail performance. We are a brand which is, and it's mainly because we make small, typically three-door cars, that they aren't necessarily the logical fleet choices. So we're reliant on retail. And retail's not just Fiat. The retail market has really suffered, as you mentioned, and particularly smaller cars, and particularly more affordable EVs, because the grant was capped at £32,000 anyway. So we feel very strongly about this. We are very vocal about it, as you know. We're very vocal with you about it now. But by the same token, we're not just criticising. We have actually done something about it. As you mentioned, we've launched our e-grant. We launched it initially on Fiat 500e. We launched it in June last year, a year to the day of the removal of the grant. June actually was our best month for dealer sales last year. But it's difficult to maintain that. So again, in answer to your question, I think that we are encouraging others, and specifically the government, to do more to increase this EV adoption. Year to date, January was 14.7%, February nearly 18%. So it's starting to get a little bit better, but still year to date 15.8%. So it's not increasing, it's stagnant. I really feel very strongly at Fiat that something needs to be done about that. So we initially launched the e-grant on the 500e. You mentioned we caught up last week face-to-face at the 600e launch. We equally put it on the Abarth 500e. But again, these are small three-door cars. We've now put it on our new 600e. So 600 is an iconic nameplate, actually launched 2 years before the original 500 in the 50s. Probably not as well known in the UK as the 600, but this now is a family car. This is a five-door car. This is a car which families could use, could be their first car in the or only car in the family. And we've extended our £3,000 e-grant on this as well. And equally, I think if the Chancellor had done something yesterday, we would have maintained that £3,000. We're committed to that on this car to the end of the year.
So you mentioned there that Fiat tends to be a smaller car brand, and that's where that's how people get into EVs a lot of time. So hopefully we've got more small, affordable models coming this year. And do you think that'll help with the retail side of things? Do you think that'll be competitors for your models from people like Renault and from Dacia? Do you think that's going to be a help to getting more people into cars?
I mean, of course it will help. But equally, I think something needs to come from the government, because I think also it's a confusing time to be a consumer right now. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think it was a bit of a confusing message yesterday, because again, there was, rather than an incentive on electric cars, there was almost an incentive to stay in your petrol car. I'm sure that benefits a lot of people. Don't misunderstand me. And I know when a budget is made, it's very easy to criticise. And I understand this point. But I think fundamentally, it's a confusing time to be a consumer, because also the government pushed back the 2030. I mean, on the one hand, a couple of years ago, we said, hey, we're going to do it 5 years before the rest of Europe. So everyone had 2030 in their brains. Crikey, I must, this, I need to almost think about this. This is very, starting to be really close. And then pushed it back to 2035. Interestingly, from being a car manufacturer, at pretty much the same moment, they enforced what is called the ZEV mandate, this mandate, the zero emission vehicle mandate, which is telling me as a manufacturer, I've got to sell 22% battery electric vehicle. Otherwise, the penalties are significant. So, it's a difficult juxtaposed position. It's so yes, more vehicles, smaller vehicles, more lower cost EVs is good for the market. It will stimulate the market. But also, I think we need some message from government here. Destination has been set by the government. The electric route has been set by the government. We are following a path which has been set.
Yeah, it did seem quite surprising that EVs were fundamentally completely ignored in the budget. There was no mention at all. And as you say, the fuel duty freeze was put out there as a way to make motoring more affordable for drivers. But there was nothing there in terms of making more affordable for EV drivers. Do you think that things like the suggested VAT cut on charging, is that the kind of route the government should be going down? Or do you think that it is more we need more incentives in terms of purchase prices? Or do you think it's a blend of the two or other matters as well?
I mean, I don't want to sound so desperate about it, but I think something, I mean, we need something. I mean, ultimately, as we alluded to 5 or 10 minutes ago, I mean, if you're a company car driver, you're very happy, very, very happy. And if you're a company car driver charging 100% at home, you're incredibly happy. Because this is the other point here, is that basically if consumers who buy electric cars are doing all of their charging at home, and it's interesting that the 5p cut in fuel duty yesterday is worth about £50 in drivers' pockets. If someone buys an EV or leases an EV, if it's a company car, and charges 100% at home, the savings typically are between 750 and £1,000 a year, not £50 a year. So the savings are really, really big. So I think if you're a company car driver, you're pretty, driving an EV, you're pretty happy at the moment. I don't think that can get any better. And I think we need to be really balanced about it and complement that aspect, because that's big. It's not just box ticked, it's a really big, but there's got to be something to accelerate the other 50-odd% of the market. And whether that be charging on the move, typically speaking, Matt, a lot of smaller EVs, most of their charging is going to be at home. So I don't think necessarily that is going to. I think my personal view is that if it's a difficult choice as to where to put it, putting money into the charging structure is great. Don't misunderstand me. It's absolutely great. Let's be clear about that. But as a priority, I would put it into actually getting the incentives, because I think the people who are probably doing the more miles are probably the more corporate customers who are massively benefiting already from the benefit and kind advantage. If there's limited funds to spend on it, get more people buying EVs in the first place, which is nothing but good. And attack the area of the market which we've discussed at length, is basically the retail buyer, which has got nothing on the table today, other than the fact they want to do the right thing.
So obviously we're talking about brand new cars, and obviously a huge part of Fiat's business is selling brand new EVs to customers. Do you think there's scope as well, perhaps, to support the used EV market? Obviously that's growing quite rapidly. We saw last year, and in Scotland we've got an interest-free loan on used EVs. Do you think that's something that should be considered as well? Is that a way to encourage even more people in it for those who aren't thinking about a brand new car? Is that a useful way to incentivize them to consider an EV?
Obviously, that's unique to Scotland, and to be honest, I'd be interested to look at some data on that. But I think anything which gets people into an EV is nothing but a good thing. I mean, I spent a lot of my career on premium brands, and often the accessibility to a premium brand is through the used car market. So what you're saying absolutely could make sense as well. I think the interesting thing is that once, I try and remember the statistic now, but 90% of people who buy an EV would not go back to a traditional thermic engine. So I think the more things which we can do to get to people behind the wheel, trying them in the first place and ultimately buying them, whether that be used as well as new, then it's nothing but a good thing, because the more EVs are on the road, the more new cars they're going to sell anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. There is an element of getting people into EVs and getting them used to the idea. I think there's still a small element of fear among some people, isn't there, around EVs? But as you say, get people into them, and very few people want to go back again. I
I
mean,
think it's natural to have, sorry to interrupt, but I think it's natural to have fear. I mean, it's probably people, I suspect, and I don't know statistically, but I suspect people, we're hearing a lot about things like heat pumps and solar energy and the rest of it. It's almost like, I think people want to do it, and sometimes they need that reason to do it. And obviously, there's lots of grants on those two things at the moment as well. And once they've done it, I don't think they ever, once you've made that jump, that's fantastic. I know people who love to tell me how much the sun came out today and it saved me X amount of pounds. And it's a great feel-good thing. So I think it's typical of most new technologies. But I think that's the key thing, is let's get people trying the products. It is a unique driving experience. It's a fun driving experience. So for people who enjoy driving, the EV driving experience is good. Once they actually drive the car, they enjoy the car. That also, once they start engaging, they understand actually from a servicing perspective, they can save money. Also, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of charging, particularly at home, they really, save a lot of money. At Fiat, most of the journeys which people are doing are small journeys, and most of the charging which they're doing is at home. We've partnered also with Octopus. Octopus are a great company. I think they've won the Switch Awards 7 years, and they have some really unique aspects because they've got a really good charging tariff that you can charge at home at night, which is great. Very low, very, very efficient, very, very low cost. And also the point you mentioned earlier about charging on the move. If you do need to charge on the move, they've got access to it. I think it's over 80% of the UK's charging points on one app. So we just need to get more people ultimately trying charging, trying the technology. So I think if they try and their minds are open to it, then that adoption will come. The thing is, Matt, this comes back this full circle all the time, is, at the moment, they're probably postponing these decisions because they're thinking 2035 is a long way away. There's no real reason to buy now, which is why, we would encourage, and we did, we were disappointed with the budget yesterday, which is why at Fiat we have launched our own eGrant. It's to stand out in the market. Our message is very, very clear. We're a brand which is for everybody. We're a brand which has Italian family values. Let me say this. The original Fiat 500 was the car which the Italian government got involved with the Fiat family at the time, to make a car for the mass market of Italy. Believe it or not, that little car people used to cram 4 people and all their holiday bags into, it was a family car, it was a family runner, it was a car for everybody. And we believe at Fiat that basically vacation should be for everybody, not just those people who can afford a really expensive company car or entitled to a company car, or a small part of the market which is entitled to a motability car. But it needs to be for people who are using their own hard-earned money to buy. There needs to be a reason to do it. It's a message, it's an endorsement, if nothing else.
it's interesting that you mentioned there, obviously, that you want electrification to be affordable for all. And the 500 was one of the cars that sort of launched that. And you also mentioned the idea that when people drive EVs, they don't want to go back because actually they're enjoyable to drive. And that's part of it, isn't it? It's making cars that people want to buy. And the 500 is a great example of that. It's a brilliant little thing. And having products that people want to come and try. Once they're in the car, they realize the benefits of the EV. So on that note, obviously we've got 500e already, 600e is just launching as well, and I know that Panda is coming later this year. Is there anything you can tell us about that, or is it all top secret at the moment?
There's not a lot I can tell you, but Panda, I mean, Panda is obviously another iconic Fiat nameplate. I haven't driven it, I'll be honest with you, but I've seen the car, sat in the car. It is a bit of a reinvention. What I would say is that basically, if you look at the original Fiat 500 and then you look at the 500e, you can absolutely see an amazing DNA, an amazing bloodline. Almost, you can line them up and you see the Russian doll similarity, kind of like, sort of the evolution of the design. And I think you'll see a lot of, let me say, respect for design cues to the past, but in a very, in the exact same way that Film Nudi has done it, in a bang, bang, up-to-date 2024 reincarnation of an amazing original design. I think it's Car, which is going to be full, is absolutely full of personality. Fiat's role in life, other than, well, she was linked to it really, is other than mobility for everybody and electrification for everybody. You know, our role in life and our USP is that, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. That's not to say we're not serious. Don't misinterpret that. But actually, we're a brand which makes people smile. It's almost like you look at your car and you drive when you come out of your house, look over your car, it almost smiles back at you. You know, you smile at it, it almost smiles back at you. You get in your car and you're happy to be there. It's a space which you really, really enjoy, you know, full of personality. And the Panda, in the same way that the 500 and 600, which was launched last week, is full of personality, Panda is as well. But it's a Panda personality. It's not a 500 personality or it's not a 600 personality. So I think in relevance to the discussion which we're having here, I think it's also important that part of our brief is to try and make sure that we bring it as affordable to market as possible. So that is a consideration. So in terms of what's going into the vehicle as well, because obviously we are aiming to try and get it as affordable as possible. But there are some really, I would say, funky aspects to it. It's the kind of car, and I look forward to talking to you about it. We'll hark back to this conversation. You know, when you see it, and it's almost like there's lots of storytelling behind the car. You know, it's just there's some really fun bits, some nice homages, some really interesting design cues, and there's a couple of things which are going to make you smile.
Excellent. Yeah, well, I have to say, I'm really looking forward to seeing that and when it arrives later in the year. So I think we're almost out of time, and I think that's a great little teaser to leave people on. So I'd just like to say thanks again for your time on this. It's been great chatting to you. Really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.